Australia on the Triple M Network. Triple M. Welcome to the Night Shift with Luke Boner.
Pete, g'day.
Hi, Luke. How you going?
Good, thanks, Pete. Welcome aboard.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been a while since I've actually called through, so I thought I'd call and say g'day. And I just sort of flicked on as we started talking about the identity theft.
Yeah, well, Simon, when he gets in later on, has an amazing story. It happened to a friend of his, and it happened really easily. What have you got?
So my partner's wallet got pinched out of our car. She left it unlocked overnight, and I had an old license in there, and so someone's got hold of it, and we didn't think much of it because there was nothing important in the wallet. So we cancelled bank cards and things like that, and a couple of months later, I've got the phone with Telstra. I've got the app on my phone that has all my billing details and everything. And one day, a couple of different phone numbers popped up on my account.
Mm-hmm.
And which was strange because I've only got the one number attached to my account. So I wrote these numbers down and I rang them, and a bloke answered and telling me he was from Shepparton and told me his name, and I'd never heard of him before. And I said, look, your phone number's on my account somehow. And he got off the phone pretty quick after that. He didn't want to say much more. And the next time I tried to call him back again, it was disconnected. And
yeah.
I rang the police about it. Well, I rang Telstra first, and they made sure these numbers were cancelled. And they said that somebody has used my ID,
yeah,
set up prepaid SIM cards.
There
and
you
all
are.
All you need to do it online is a license number and a date of birth, and that's it. So anyway, I got them cancelled, and another 3 or 4 months later, police contacted us, and they actually caught the people that had it, and it was a big drug road and all that sort of thing. But yeah, they got it in the end, which is good. So.
Well, that'll teach you to leave a wallet in an unlocked car overnight.
Well, yes, that was the best lesson we learned. Anyway,
was your wife's wallet or yours?
It was her wallet, but it had an expired license of mine in it.
Yeah, but was the wallet in a handbag?
No, it was just the wallet was just. I think she just had it on the floor in the.
Oh dear! I am constantly patting my pocket, because if I haven't got my wallet, I'm done. And so I'm very, very aware of where my wallet is, because if you lose it, you're stuffed. Same thing with your phone. If you lose your phone and someone can get into it, you're in a lot of trouble.
Yes, yeah, and there's plenty of different ways to hack into them these days, and it's scary how much information is on phones these days too.
But Simon was saying that this friend of his had his license renewed, and instead of sending it to him, look, back in the day, you used to go into the RMS or the RTA or whatever it is, depending on where you're listening to me, and you would go in, have your license renewed, you'd stand there, they'd take a new photo, you'd go and sit down for 5 minutes, then they'd call your number up and they would hand it to you. They would actually hand it to you. But Simon's telling me now, in New South Wales, they post them to you. Now, that's really dangerous.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm in Victoria, and that's happened down here. I've had to get a new license, and I walked in and paid for the renewal, and they didn't even take a new photo. They just said, right, I will send it out in the mail. Here's your receipt until the new one arrives.
Yeah, but look, my daughter, for example, had to have her passport renewed. And it arrived the other day, but it was registered mail. Someone had to sign for it. And if there was no one home, it would have been delivered up at the post office, and we would have had to go up there with the card. You should not be able to have something like a driver's license just dropped off in a letterbox.
Yeah.
I don't reckon.
It's the same as a bank card. A lot of the time, the PIN number is meant to come separately, but it's meant to come separately, but a lot of the time it doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, he's dropped out. He's gone. But I think he said what he had to say. Pete, if you're still listening, I haven't hung up on you. Yeah, you've dropped out. But, yeah, very, very easy. Very easy to have your identity stolen, and it can ruin your life. Very hard sometimes to put it all back together again. 133353 is the telephone number. G'day, Rick.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Deadly.
Just want to ring up, have a quick chat about the two different subjects. One's the Dick Smith thing closing down.
Yeah.
Bit sad that he's gone because he's given it a red hot crack, which was, you know, very good of him and
20 years
helped a lot of people. Yeah, it's not a bad effort at all. I think one thing that gets up me a bit though is he's having a crack at Aldi now. I know, you know, Aldi is obviously from overseas.
German.
If you have a look at a lot of the stuff that Aldi stocks, like a lot of their cereals and that, it's all grown in Queensland, New South Wales. You know, it says down the bottom that it's, you know, manufactured in Australia using Australian ingredient, like Australian wheat and all that kind of thing. So, you know, that's pretty good. When you compare that to a lot of the larger supermarkets, Coles and Woolies, a lot of their stuff is from overseas and from some pretty questionable countries when it comes to health and hygiene and safety and pay. So, you know, fair enough, Aldi's fair competition, but I wouldn't go bagging them out so much for, you know, being nasty or anything like that. Like I said, it's a shame Dick's going out. I wish he could keep going. We've always supported him. My mum especially has always supported him. So that's, yeah, no good. And might tip my hat to him for what he's done anyway.
Well, absolutely. He's given it a good crack, 20 years. I'm like you. I mean, he's having a crack at Aldi. I don't shop at Aldi, but the boss at home does. She does all the grocery shopping at Aldi. I can't stand it. But she does it because she reckons the prices are the best. That's the only reason she does. Yes, you've got to pack your own bag. Yes, it can be a bit inconvenient. Mm. But she does it because she's thrifty. It's the only reason. She does it because it's cheap.
Well, we do our shops sort of fortnightly because the job I work in and my pay cycle is a fortnightly one. And we compared one fortnight, we done our complete major shop at Woolworths. Same sort of stuff as we always, nothing special out of the ordinary. It was just under $300 for the food for myself, my partner and two kids. Mm. We then done the same sort of shop at Aldi, and we had, like, this trolley was loaded to the top, you know, plenty, all the kids' school snacks and my stuff for work. And it was about it was $140, $150 less.
Wow.
And we had more in the trolley. And this was, you know, all good quality stuff. And it wasn't junk food. That was fruit, meat, you know, all the kids' snacks and some treats, bit of chocolate for the missus, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, like, I love supporting local. I love Australian-made stuff. But when you're on, like, I'm the one working, when you're on one income trying to support the family, $150 a fortnight, well, that's fuel for me to get to work for 2 weeks.
Absolutely. No, I totally understand. You know, your family's got to come first. And I think Dick is guilty of guilting us into feeling, you know, bad about all of this. I feel bad, and I don't know how many jobs we're talking about. It's always sad when someone goes bust, especially someone who fights like Dick. But Dick's got to remember, he made his fortune with his electronic shops, and they bought cheap Chinese electrical components and sold them.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. You can't sort of have your cake and eat it too when it comes to that kind of thing. It's either you're 100% Aussie and nothing else, or, you know, you're a bit of both. You can't sort of bite the hand that feeds you all the time.
That's right. All those electronic components that the original Dick Smith stores sold were either from Japan or China.
Yeah, exactly. So, oh, I mean, like we say, though, he's done pretty good when it comes to charity work and those he's helped out, and that, you know, he's done a lot better than, if a few of the other big businesses in Australia done what he'd done, we'd probably be a bit better off than we are now.
Yeah, and I like what he has to say about stalling the population and taking a deep breath on migration or immigration. I've had plenty of conversations with him about that. But is Dick Smith right to blame Aldi? He could also be blaming Coles or Woolies, but he won't, because Coles and Woolies stock his food.
Yeah, exactly.
Coles stock Dick Smith food, and I know it because I just went down and bought them out of his breakfast cereal that I love.
And so, well, IGA stocks his stuff too, or it does near where I live anyway.
Does it?
So, yeah.
I haven't noticed.
The Maxi IGA has the Aussie nuts and the Aussie mite and
does it? Yeah,
other products here.
Yeah, no, it is sad. It is sad, but, I mean, that's competition.
Yeah, these things happen. Like, he's lasted a lot longer than other people might have, so...
That's right. I mean, that is competition. It's sad, but that's the way it goes. People will vote with their wallets. Now,
yeah.
The only thing that gets me about Coles and Woolies is that it's a thing called predatory pricing, where they might have a competitor next door. Down at my shopping centre many years ago when we first moved back into the area, there was a fantastic family-run fruit and veggie shop right next door to Woolies.
Mm.
And that was quality stuff. And it was an Italian family. It was a good old-fashioned greengrocer's. Well, they couldn't last. I mean, they would sell bananas for $6.99 a kilo and Woolies would sell them for $4.99 a kilo. And predatory pricing is when you price somebody out of business and then you put your prices back up to where they were.
Yeah, because you've got no competition anymore. Well, the town I lived in was the same. We had a Maxi IJ and we had another small IJ that was a family-owned company. Now, the Maxi, he puts a lot into the town, but the problem was any time there was interest from Aldi, Coles, Woolies, because a bit of competition wouldn't go astray, and the objections from that company was always put into the land being purchased or it was purchased by that supermarket so that no one else could get their hands onto it. So that was sort of, it stalled the town. It was pretty, well, that's why most of us would travel an hour round trip to the nearest larger town to where there is an Aldi and a Coles and Woolies, because even travelling, you would save the money shopping there and then going back home again. So,
yeah. All right, folks, 133353. This is one of our topics this morning. Is Dick Smith whinging or does he have a right to whinge? Is it good, healthy competition that drove Dick Smith Foods out, or is it predatory pricing? You remember during the week we were talking about this story out of Western Australia, their peak bodies for agriculture wanting working dogs to be exempt from a new puppy farming law that's being considered by the state government. In WA, cruelty to dogs is addressed through the Animal Welfare Act. It's the Act of 2002. And restrictions on dog numbers through the Dog Act of 1976. But there are no legal provisions that deal specifically with the overbreeding of dogs. Now, the proposed law, which is up for public consultation, includes a range of measures to end puppy farming in WA, such as the sterilisation of all non-breeding dogs. And those who do wish to breed dogs would need to register as a dog breeder on the centralised registration system, and therefore they'd have to comply with a range of other regulations to ensure animal welfare. Now, there's a group being represented by the Pastoralists and Graziers Association, and they believe that farmers would be disadvantaged, or at the very least they'd be unintended victims of these laws, because farmers want to be able to operate under their own puppy farming laws, because farmers need working dogs. They want an exemption for working dogs. Now, veterinary surgeon Rob Zammit is right across all this. I spoke to him late last night, and I'll replay that chat a little bit later on this morning. But this shouldn't be just Western Australia. We should be looking at this as a national issue. Should all dogs be sterilised if they're not bred by a registered breeder? Now, the only thing is, I can see a loophole here. They're going to have to be a little bit more specific as to what they claim is a farm, because there might be somebody that lives on 2 acres and has a goat. They claim to be a farmer, and really it's a puppy farm. So you're going to have to really work out what constitutes a farm. Would it be your tax records? Would it be acreage? Would it be how many head of livestock do you carry? Plenty of farms don't have livestock. Plenty of farms just grow wheat or canola or whatever. So what constitutes a farm? Because I can see some unscrupulous puppy breeders calling themselves farms only because they're on acreage. But anyway, the other side of this story is, should there be compulsory sterilisation of cats as well? And there's a great argument for it. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later this morning. You might have some thoughts. 133353 is the telephone number. G'day, Josh.
Hey, mate, how you going?
I'm very good, Josh. What's up?
Oh, I'm just at work at the moment. Just thought I'd call in, have a bit of a chat.
Okay, chat away.
Yeah, I just like to talk about just that Dick Smith debacle that's going on, and also all the other Australian like jobs and all those companies that are sending offshore. Or, they're just sort of going bust. Like, just a lot of Australian products and, the companies, they're just, they just no more. Even, like, for instance, like your bonds, you're going overseas now, stuff that's not made in Australia anymore. It's, it's just really disappointing what's going on in this country at this time.
Well, we can't compete because of our wages. We have a standard of living that we want to live up to, and no union is going to allow anybody to earn less than $20 an hour. So you either adhere to the Australian wage laws, pay Australian wages, or and then when imports come into the country that have been made overseas for people earning a dollar a week, well, what do you do?
Yeah, exactly. I totally agree. And sometimes, it's some of us that actually want to work as well. It's really hard to get jobs these days. Like, I remember a few years ago, it was really hard for me to get a job. Like, I came out of the army. And, and I just couldn't find a job. I was trying to get into the security industry, and it actually took a while. And I was trying to find a bit of work. I was going through Indeed and all those other sites as well, and it was just so hard. I had my resume. I had my cover letter ready to go, and I just couldn't do anything. I wasn't getting picked up at all.
What do you do now?
Well, I'm a security guard at the moment. I work at on a military base. Won't say where, but I do work on a military base. I actually called in yesterday, mate. I had a bit of a chat.
Remember. I know what military base.
So I'm doing this for. I've done this for about 2-3 years. But actually before this job, it was actually really really hard just to get in a job. I was doing like going out washing cars. I was just doing that for like this part time on the weekend just to earn a bit of cash.
Yeah.
And,
Do you have a family?
I don't have a family, no. I don't have like a wife and kids, but it's just but with this job at the moment, like if you do have any commitments and your wife and kids, you do have a lot of commitments, and it's probably not the best job. Just wage sort of the rates at the moment. So if you don't have any real commitments, then it's not too bad. But, if you do have, like, car payments, mortgage and family to look after, it is a little bit hard.
Yeah, it is. It is. Josh, is Dick Smith whinging or does he have a point?
Well, I think he's a little bit hypocritical, just a little bit. As you said, with these products, with the Dick Smith electrical stores, he was getting stuff overseas.
Yeah, and all the others. Like, do you remember, I think his main competitor back then, someone tell me if I'm right or wrong, was Tandy. Does that ring a bell? Yeah, and everyone was screaming because Dick Smith was undercutting them all. Well, he was buying his components from China.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I totally agree. So I understand where Dick Smith has come from at this time, where, like, an overseas company's coming over. And it was a bloke just before said that a lot of Audi's products are actually from here in Australia. They're, like, from Queensland, country Queensland, New South Wales. So, I think maybe Dick Smith does need to do a bit of his research before he does say something.
Well, look, good on him. And he was giving all that money to charity. You've got to give him a pat on the back for having a crack. But, blaming Audi for Dick Smith Foods to be discontinued is drawing, I think, a very long bow, because people will always vote with their wallets, okay? They will. And if Aldi's cheaper, my missus, the Minister for War and Finance, she shops at Aldi and she does it for one reason. It's cheaper. There was a bloke who rang up earlier, was it Rick, who said that he can shop at Aldi and buy more for up to $145 less. I mean, who's going to knock that back?
That's true. Yeah, I also shop at Audi myself, mate. And
do you?
Yeah, you can go. You can go to Woolies. I can get my bare necessities, but bare essentials. But if you go to Audi and then you go to Woolworths, like, it's almost like 50% more at Woolworths than it is at Audi.
Wow. Yeah. Listen, Josh, thank you very much. Oh, you wanted to say something quickly about locking your car doors.
Oh, yeah, just locking your car doors, just in this day and age. You just don't really know what's going on. You saw these crazies around, just the mentality of society today. You just don't know what's going to happen. Just everywhere you go. I guess you just got to, you know, lock your car doors and, it's just be safe.
Yeah, it's a really important lesson, and I'm glad that Natalie does it automatically. And she thinks, Natalie lives in Bathurst. She's come to work for me for 3 weeks. She's travelled all the way here from Bathurst. But she feels a sense of security in Bathurst. She doesn't lock her doors there. I think you've got to lock them anywhere. And remember, this lady, Anne, was accosted by two prisoners that had escaped from that jail in WA, Nat. You've got two jails in your area. In fact, if you count Oberon, there's three. You know, lock your door, Natalie.
Are we fine, Luke?
Yeah, that's what Anne thought.
Lithgow jail there as well.
Yeah, you got Lithgow, you got Bathurst, and you've got Oberon.
And Kirkconnell.
And Kirkconnell. Kirkconnell Correction Facility.
Surrounded by them.
Anyway, good to talk to you, Josh. Something very, very special is going to happen tomorrow morning. A total eclipse of the moon. And apparently it's going to be just spectacular. What we'll be witnessing is actually a blood moon. If you are a weekend stargazer, you will be treated to a once-in-a-lifetime lunar event. Yes, you'll have to get up early, but suck it up. It'll be worth it. And I thought we'd talk about this and find out exactly what's going on and why it's going on and a few other things extraterrestrial that's on my mind. Our resident astronomer is the amazing Kirsten Banks, and she joins me on air right now. Hey, Kirsty.
Good morning.
Good morning, mate. Are you up and watching the sky now, or did you get up specially to talk to me?
A bit of both.
A bit of both. Okay, Kirsten, tell the listeners what's happening tomorrow morning.
Okay, so tomorrow morning from about 4:30 a.m., the moon will start to pass into Earth's shadow and turn a crimson blood-red colour. This is what's called a lunar eclipse, but what makes it really special this year and in this month in particular, because I remember I was on your show just earlier this year about another special one. We have a second special one now, which will be a really long eclipse. So it'll actually last for about an hour and 43 minutes, which is 4 minutes shy of the longest possible lunar eclipse we can get.
All right. Where should we be looking? If you say at the moon, I'll strangle you. Where is this going to take place? It's in the western sky?
Yes. So it'll be in the early hours of the morning. So the moon will be following the western part of the sky. So it'll be going down as we watch the eclipse happen.
And what time should we be getting up tomorrow morning?
Well, I'll be getting up at 3 a.m. to go to Sydney Observatory and work there from 4 until 8. But any time from 4:30 until sunrise, you'll see the moon start to go a crimson-red colour and stay that red colour as it goes down below the horizon.
Now, how often does this sort of thing happen?
Now, this particular one is very special because it doesn't happen for centuries. So the reason why it's really special is because at the moment we have a very small moon called a micromoon. So last one we had earlier this year in January was a supermoon because it was really close. But now it's a micromoon because it's really far away at about 400,000 kilometres away.
Is that all?
Is that all? Yes.
If we were to get into a rocket ship now and fly to the moon, how long would it take us?
Oh, just a couple of days.
Couple of days, that all?
Yeah, so not long at all.
A weekend away?
A weekend away, exactly.
Why haven't we colonised the moon, do you think?
Well, there's no atmosphere over there, so it's a bit hard to breathe. There's also not a lot of gravity up there either, because there's not a lot of mass. The gravity is much smaller than it is on Earth, and living in a place with less gravity than what we have here on Earth is a bit hard for some people.
Overweight people would love it.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Wouldn't they? So this is a very, very special event, once in a century, you reckon. So we should be up about 4 o'clock?
Yep, from about 4 o'clock, 4:30, you'll start to see the moon be eaten away by the Earth's shadow.
And it's a blood moon. All right, we look forward to that. A couple of other things I wanted to talk to you. Of course, space has been big time in the news this week with this discovery of a lake on Mars. What can you tell us about this?
That's right. So Mars, scientists have been looking at Mars for a very long time, and it's been the strongest contender for life in our solar system other than on Earth, of course. So scientists have actually recently found a 20-kilometre-wide lake that lies beneath the Martian surface at the poles underneath ice, about 1.5 kilometres below the ice there, which is very exciting for us because we've always looked for water there, but we've never found it, but now we have.
So it's a subterranean lake.
That's right. And it might be connected to more lakes, a whole subsystem of lakes below the surface, but we're still yet to find out more.
Now, there's talk of settling on Mars. I know that you're across this Elon Musk rocket that's currently being built. He wants it to act as sort of like a Noah's Ark and send people to Mars to Mars to procreate. Your thoughts on all of this? Is this possible?
It's probably possible to actually implement it. We need to come up with the technology for people to actually stay and survive in the Martian climate. So if we were to go to Mars and just walk around like we do every day on the path on a road, like in on Earth, we would surely die because there's not a lot of air out there. It's very cold. The average temperature on Mars is actually minus 63 degrees Celsius. So it's a bit chilly,
but it does
get up to a maximum of 35 degrees. So that's all right.
By the way, 133353, if you've got a question for Kirsten on anything out there, she'd love to talk to you. Give us a call right now. She's only available for a short time because it's so late or early. But if you've got a question about space for Kirsten Banks, astronomer, ring through right now. So it is possible to live on Mars, but you would need a separate oxygen supply. There's no oxygen at all.
There are bits of oxygen that we can extract out of the atmosphere, but there's not a lot. So we definitely need to take our own oxygen up there or do what the Martian did in the movie and create your own oxygen that way and water.
So there's no water. Well, there's a lake, but it's a saltwater lake, is it?
It is. So for there to be liquid water, it has to be very, very salty to survive in that cold climate.
Well, send up a desal plant. We've got plenty not doing anything.
I know. Easy. So we'll just have to ship all that over there.
Easy. All right. If you would you put your hand up? The what Elon Musk is offering, he wants people who can reproduce to go to Mars. And it's a one-way ticket. Would you put your hand up?
No. I like it here on Earth.
You just like looking at other things?
I do.
Yeah. one more thing. There was a story I saw online that they reckon marijuana pot has alien DNA in it. What's this story?
This story is quite a bit of a chuckle for myself because I saw it on Facebook this morning and I saw the title, Aliens Are Drugging Humans, and I thought, nah, this can't be right. So I clicked on the link and I'll tell you what, the classic clickbait material. And it's actually a really good article. People should go out and read it. It's a good article about how people on social media these days are just putting out echoes. They read the summary of the summary, which is basically the title, and because it agrees with their opinions, they would just post it out there, share it without actually reading the article. So it's an article all about people doing that, which is really quite interesting. And with that great, great title, most people do click on it.
See, there you are. So basically, you'll see on social media a headline saying, marijuana has alien DNA in it. And aliens are getting earthlings stoned or something like that.
Something like that, yep.
And so basically you click on it and the story's nothing of the like, is it?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. There you are. All right, so beware of that. Don't click on it. It's a nothing story. Got a question for you. You spend a lot of time looking through telescopes up at the abyss. Do you think there's life out there?
Definitely.
Why? Based on opinion, or is it based on science? You're a scientist.
Well, based on a bit of math and a bit of statistics. So when we look up into the night sky, we see trillions of galaxies. Now, a galaxy has hundreds of billions of stars in them. And on average, for every 10 stars there are in the universe, there's a planet for those 10 stars. So there are billions upon billions upon billions upon billions of other planets in the entire universe. Surely I think there must be something out there.
But see, that you're basing that on assumption or wishful thinking. You'd love it. But you,
this is very true.
You're not basing that on science, which is unlike you.
Well, it's a little bit of science, a little bit of belief as well.
Yeah, wishful thinking. I just think if there was something out there, surely, why wouldn't they show themselves to us by now? And there's plenty of people out there that say they already have, but the government covers it up. Rockwell.
Yep. That is true. But you've got to think about this as well. When we look out into space, we're looking back in time. So other life may exist very far away from us, but we just haven't received the signals and seen them exist yet because the information, the light is still traveling toward us.
Oh, right.
It's all very mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. I don't know how you keep up with it. Kirsten, thank you very much for that. I know you've got a lot of other commitments and a lot of other people want to talk to you today, but just going back, oh, hang on, someone wants to talk to you. Okay, who is it? Hang on. Stay there, Kirsten.
All right. I'm ready.
133353. Kirsten's only here for a short time. G'day, John. John. Christ.
Hello?
Yeah, John, you rang me.
Yeah, no, g'day. No, I just wanted to ask a question for your guest this evening. Recently, the Australian government established a space agency, and I'm quite interested into you know, all the details. What does this mean for Australia's role in space exploration? Do you believe that this space agency will be effective in making Australia a world power when it comes to space exploration?
I think having a space agency will definitely get us into the door of involving ourselves in this huge market of space. So essentially, a lot of what we're going to do with the space agency is doing what we do now, but actually giving that out to the world as well and getting part of that market. So what we do in Australia, we make a lot of satellites. We probably won't have a rocket launching station anywhere in Australia because it's not very, it's not really a good place to launch rockets from because of where we are placed in the Earth. But we do make lots of satellites that we can send to other places to be put up into space. And we can use our satellites to monitor and do lots of really cool things. So being able to do that and actually get involved with this market will be really great for Australian economy.
No, I completely agree. You know, personally, I've had involvement through Gilmore Space Technologies, different universities in Australia. And whilst there are students, you know, there are students out there that really want to pursue a career in space exploration and rocket technology. It's you know, it is quite hard at the moment. So you believe that this will be effective in creating more space engineers, more, you know, more rocket scientists, more rocket engineers? Or do you think Australia will still have to rely on technology from other nations to sort of pursue a successful you know, space exploration system?
I think it'll be a bit of a both on both sides there, because we can, with a lot of aerospace engineering courses in Australia. I know my uni that I went to has a great aerospace engineering course. So we can train up our own here, and it would be great to make some awesome Australian rocket scientists and engineers to send them off. And space is a very collaborative project as well. There's lots of international projects that go on. Take the International Space Station, for example, and lots of different rockets as well. So I think with the space agency, we'll be able to produce more of those and have more Australians in the space race.
All right. Thanks very much for your call. Good question, John. Thank you, Kirsten. Kirsten Banks, astronomer, is with us. Rob is online. G'day, Rob.
Luke, how are you?
Yeah, good. Say hello to Kirst.
Yeah, good. Hello. Kirsten, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Rob.
That's good. Look, thank you very much for the information about tomorrow night.
Tomorrow morning.
It's kind of my night because I work nights. So, but yeah, I know what you mean. Just wondering whether Sydney Observatory would be open to the public, or is it pretty much invitation only type thing to special people like yourself, I guess?
So the Observatory, we are running a special event, but it is sold out.
Yep.
So unfortunately, no one else will be able to get on in the early hours of Saturday morning. We'll be open during the day if you want to come along.
When did you advertise this, Kirsten? Thanks for the heads up.
Yep, fair call. Sydney Observatory has been advertising it for a while now, and they've obviously done a very good job, and it's now been sold out.
Thanks for letting me know, Kirsten. I thought we were mates.
Yeah, no worries, mate.
Yeah, there's no specialty treatment for me, Rob. So it would be great to go to the observatory, have some breakfast, and watch this blood moon in the western sky, low in the western sky, but not to be. But
I guess you got to get the drive time, Luke. You know, then you kind of get all the lurks and perks. You know, you're just a night tracker.
That's
you know,
it. So yeah.
you're like the rest of us, mate. You're not important. But well, the world would stop without us. But you know, like that's not important. You know, so it's all part of the fun.
Bottom of the barrel, mate. But I'm used to it. Okay.
But it's just what we're used to. And, you know, look, we know who really does the work. So we'll just let them keep on getting the credit for it. It's fine, mate. It's all good.
Good on you, Rob. Thanks for your call, buddy.
Take care.
Thanks, Rob.
Great work, Kirsten. Thanks for the information, too.
No worries.
Yeah. All right, Kirsten, I'll let you go because you've got a busy day. Thank you very much for that. And we'll talk again soon if anything in the world of astronomical science comes along. It'll be interesting to see if Elon Musk gets his rocket to Mars and colonizes the place. They're building it. They're building it now. I've only got one thing to say to Elon Musk. Elon, it's not rocket science. Kirsten, you have a good day.
You too. Thanks, everyone.
Kirsten Banks, ladies and gentlemen. G'day, Brett.
Yeah, mate. How you going?
Very well. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad. Well, actually, I'm a little annoyed. I just heard that you said that Dick Smith is going under.
He's stopping the food. He said he's got to do it, otherwise he'll go bankrupt. And he's waving his finger firmly at Aldi.
I don't know what the numbers are and what all that stuff is, but I don't know. A lot of people call me one of those weird people because I'm one of those ones that searches for Australian-made food.
Me too.
And I purposely go and buy Dick Smith's food, and I am a big fan of that peanut butter and that cereal as well. And, yeah, I get called a weird person for spending extra money on Australian-made food. And, well, I'm just a little annoyed at that, but now he's gone under, and I'm like, well, what am I going to do now?
I search out Dick Smith's breakfast cereal. It's, I reckon, the best I've ever had. I love his Aussie Nuts peanut butter. That's where my Dick Smith purchases stop, but I do love that breakfast cereal. And I like Dick. I like him very much.
I reckon he's a good bloke too.
But I've got here a Facebook comment from Alex. He says, "Hi, Luke, in regards to your comment, Dick Smith selling imported electronics back in the day, how much, if any, was actually made in Australia? Bugger all, if I remember correctly." That's right. So he's hardly being hypocritical. All I'm saying is that Dick Smith did import electrical components back in the day. He did it very well. And he made a lot of money out of it. But as this Facebooker says, Alex, he couldn't have bought the components here in Australia. We didn't make them, did we? Don't think so. I think Tandy was his biggest competitor, wasn't it?
Well, it would have been something like that. Yeah, well, we don't really make... back then, we didn't really make too many electronics in here, did we?
But
thinking about it.
Yeah. Look, he employs a lot of people. All the money he makes with the food lines goes to charity. That's what the label says. And I think it's a bit sad, but can he blame Aldi? People love a bargain. And people shop at Aldi because of the prices, don't they?
Well, they do, but then that also ruins the whole aspect of it. Yes, people do like to save money, but if it's putting somebody out of a job, that's not ideal, is it? Because personally, I work in a manufacturing company where everything is made in my company in Australia. And I see the tricks that they all do with these phantom labelling and pushing certain products off the shelves to put their cheaper stuff on and completely compete our specific products with their own products. And it's sad to see that my company is losing money because we are actually being forced to make stuff for Coles and Woolworths and Aldi and stuff at a cheaper price, and it's slowly dwindling us away, because what they do is once they've taken a certain product of ours off the shelf, then they take it to China, and then that means we don't make that product at all no more, which means we are losing people at our factory, which is not pretty good. So, yeah, well, that's kind of why I specifically go and find all these Australian brands to try and buy them. And you do pay a pretty penny, but it keeps us all in jobs, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. Look, I am a bit sad. I really am a bit sad. I'm not an Aldi shopper, but the Minister for War and Finance at home is a huge Aldi shopper. And next time she goes, I'm going to have to bite the bullet and go with her because I'm going to take a serious look at the products on the shelf and just have a look and see how many of those products are made in Australia. I've been told by callers this morning that quite a few, that there's quite a lot of stuff for sale at Aldi that is actually Australian.
Well, that is quite true, but what they're doing is they're selling it at that price to knock off competitors because they sell very similar stuff so like what we make, they sell it right next to the same product is sold next to it on the shelf at a dollar less or $2 less.
But Coles and Woolies sell things cheaply as well because Coles and Woolies like to undercut the IGAs and the Safeways and those sort of people. Dick isn't criticising Coles and Woolies, and I think the reason is Coles and Woolies have Dick's products on the shelf.
Well, that's true as well, but the thing that a lot of people don't realise is like the same. It's exactly the same product, which is thing, but because it's made by Aldi, they can undercut us as a society, if you will, in the manufacturing industry because they buy in bulk, but it's exactly the same thing. And yes, it's quite feasible to buy the cheaper one, but then what they do is they take your stuff off the shelf and still sell their stuff, but take it overseas and start selling it in China, and then they get it back cheaper.
Yeah. Look, I tell you what, we did put a message through to Dick Smith, but it was probably a bit late last night because I have spoken to him a number of times on this program, usually about population and the future of Australia, and I love his company. I'll talk to him over the weekend and I'll see if I can get him on the program next week and we'll try and sort it out. Maybe we can convince him to stay in business. Maybe, look, I've got an email here from... hang on, where are we? Craig, I buy his tomato sauce. I always ask my kids to pass me the Dick sauce.
Yeah.
Janine, the tomato sauce is the best. Luke, is the problem the name? I've always thought if those products had an Aussie name, he could be selling the world Aussie Fresh. Maybe Dick needs to rename. Dick Smith worked with electronics, but it hasn't worked with food. He's lasted 20 years. He's given it a good crack.
Oh yeah, and he's made a fair bit of money out of it, but good on him. But I just the idea of the Australian food industry and manufacturing industry just going down the gurgle is just my peeve about everything. I honestly despise Aldi. I really do. I hate going into them.
Do you? Despise them. Yeah, I don't go in. I went in the other day because they on the catalogue they had an outdoor strip electric heater that I thought might be okay, and they sold out. But I might have to bite the bullet and go shopping with the missus next time she goes to Aldi, and I'll take a close look at what's on the shelves. I'll look at the prices, and I'll see where it's made. Listen, thanks for your call, Brett.
Yeah, no, that's all right, mate.
Okay, yeah, you take care.
Thank you. You too, mate.
Well, as we've talked about quite extensively this week, as you know, in Western Australia, they're looking at introducing new legislation that would bring about the compulsory desexing of all dogs, and I think it should be cats, and we'll talk about that in a sec, all dogs, male and female, if the dogs are owned by somebody who is not a registered breeder. Now, one of Western Australia's peak bodies for agriculture wants working dogs to be exempt from these new puppy farming laws, and I thought we should talk about it a bit more. Our resident vet here on the night shift is veterinary surgeon Dr. Rob Zamity joins me now. Hello, mate.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. What do you make of all this?
Oh, look, the pet shop industry has already got together and developed a thing called the Master Breeders Association. And so they're going to say that their people are registered. Now, the laws are trying to impact on the puppy farmers. And we've all seen the footage. We've all seen those dogs crammed in and bitch having litter after litter and puppies overcrowded and under appalling conditions. That's what they're trying to stop. That I understand. But, you know, they've gone about it quite irrationally, to be honest. I don't think they're not talking to the breeders, to the actual registered breeders, and saying, you know, what can we do to stop the puppy farms, the puppy mills, if you like. And, yeah, the farmers are caught up in this. They need working dogs, and they're not going to be registered with any particular body at all. how do they keep their dogs going to muster their sheep and their cattle, which are very vital to our industry.
Yeah, so the pastoralists and the Graziers Association, they have a point. Farmers should be able to breed working dogs and not have to be registered as a breeder, because there's a real rigmarole that's associated with that.
Yeah, and they're not breeding puppies to farm them out and breed hundreds of them to sell. They're just trying to breed enough to keep them going, and usually they find homes. Sometimes they don't find homes. And sure, some of the oversupply has to be euthanized correctly and humanely. But all in all, we're not going about it rationally. It's just a reaction from the pollies, because the general public are saying, who are being fed by some of these welfare organizations, say, oh, we've got to stop puppy farming. We've got to stop puppy farming. I agree we've got to stop puppy farming. But again, it's the method they're using is reactionary, and it's not well thought out.
Yeah. The thing that gets me, and they've got to think this through, is that if they do make farmers exempt from these new laws, then you're going to find some tricky people who live on an acre, or maybe two, or maybe 4 acres, and say, I'm a farmer, I'm exempt, but really they're puppy farmers.
Yeah, you've got to define.
Yeah, oh, look, there's a cow over there, and I've got one sheep over there, I'm a farmer.
Yeah, you've got to have, like, I think it's got to be farmers that have, the tax exemption as farmers. So you've got to have a certain number ahead of cattle or sheep to be classified as a farmer.
But what about a hobby farmer?
Not a farmer. They're not hobby farmers, and not under the taxation rules classified as farmers.
That's interesting.
It is their hobby.
Yeah.
And so they don't get the tax relief that our farmers rightly deserve and do get. And they need some sort of looking after in this whole gamut of trying to get legislation that stops puppy mills. I'm going to call them mills. I don't like the word farm for them. They want to stop the puppy mills that are churning out all these puppies. Many of them end up in pounds and unwanted areas right throughout Australia. I agree that they should be stopped. I agree that we should put a clamp on those poor animals that live in appalling conditions and not looked after.
Okay, another hot topic we've talked about this week is a proposed curfew on cats. That is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, cats should be indoors. Your thoughts?
Well, it's been shown that cats that go outdoors have a shorter life. They either get bitten by a dog, or they'll get in country areas taken by a snake, or very often hit by a car. So,
or they fight each other and get abscesses.
Abscesses or cat AIDS, feline AIDS, or other diseases. In truth, if you ask the real cat people that really do breed and look after their cats aren't allowed to go wandering outside. So, I think it's a good idea. For our environment does, unfortunately, suffer greatly because of cats. I don't know what they're going to do about it long, long term, because it's hard to get rid of the feral cat population. But it's a start to say, if you want to own a cat, you can own it and look after it. It doesn't need to go outside. You can have outside runs for it. Now, there are these fantastic runs that even people in units use, where the actual run comes out the window, goes round the side attached to the building on their unit, and might go into another window. So the cat goes to go outside running around, but it's still properly confined and looked after.
And just one final thing, Dr. Rob, this story out of Tasmania is a worry. These tawny owls are dying in their droves because they're eating poisoned mice. You've got to think, haven't you? It's a dynamic equilibrium in which we live.
We forget that there's a big life cycle out there, much bigger than just humans. We really forget that. We actually think that we're going to survive everything and anything. We're not going to if we destroy all our creatures. And what happens is that during certain weather conditions, rodents come into our houses, come into our buildings. We don't like them. Of course, they carry disease. They've got problems. So we put out baits for them. They go back out and die. And the owls say, oh, easy pickings. Doesn't take a lot of poison for the owl to eat the part of the mouse and die. So it's a real problem. This is a real catch-22. I don't know the answer, Luke, because on one hand, we do have to control our rodents. Think back, the Black Plague was caused by rodents. Remember that. The fleas on the rats caused the Black Plague, and millions of people died that way. So we do have to control that population, but how do we do it safely? Maybe some of these electronic systems of controlling rats, if they work, maybe that's what we're going to have to look at.
Yeah, these poor owls, they're dying in their droves in Tasmania. Yeah. Anyway, Dr. Rob Zammit, always good to talk. We'll talk again soon.
Look forward to it, Luke. All the very best.
One of the leading stories around the country today is Dick Smith, who faced the media yesterday saying that after 20 years, he is shutting down his food business. All those brands. Look, I love the breakfast cereal, the Aussie nuts, the peanut butter, the tomato sauce, all of it is going. He says he cannot compete, and he's really hammered Aldi over all of this. He says Aldi's made it almost impossible for him to operate. In fact, he even used the word bankruptcy if he kept going. So jobs will be lost, and these products will no longer be seen on the shelves. Can we feel guilty about shopping at Aldi is the question. Maggie on Facebook says, it is really sad that Dick Smith's closing down. I loved his tomato sauce. I refuse to shop at Aldi because I like to buy Australian, but it's getting harder to find Australian-made foods in our country right now. Craig says, I buy his tomato sauce. I love it. I always ask my kids to pass me the Dick sauce. The people love his sauce. Janine, the tomato sauce is the best. Lucas, the problem may be the name. I've always thought if those products had an Aussie name, it might work. So say, call it Aussie Fresh. Dick Smith worked with his electronics, but maybe not with food. Should he rename? Of course, Dick Smith had a lot of trouble getting his products on shelves. I know that it's on the shelves at Coles. He hasn't wagged the finger at Coles. Why would he? They've got his products at eye level. But it's Aldi he's really hammered. But it's the end of an era. 20 years. 20 years. Some people will argue that Dick Smith made his fortune by importing cheap Chinese and Japanese electronic components when he ran his electronic store. I guess the truth of it is, where else was he going to buy those components? We didn't make them in Australia. He had to import them. But there you are. It's what people will be talking about today. 133353 is the telephone number. Jamie, g'day.
How you going, Luke?
Yeah, I'm very good. You all right?
Yeah, mate. Very good.
Good.
Very good.
Good. What's up?
Mate, with the this Aldi talk.
Yeah, and Dick Smith, yeah.
Yes, mate. I think you'll find there's more than 70% of the products in Aldi are Australian products.
Is that their charter?
Their charter is to source as many products in the home country that their stores are in as they can.
Yeah.
Now, all of your fresh produce is Australian. Your meat is Australian. Your bakery is Australian. You know, there's so many Australian products on the shelf. I believe it would rival Coles or Woolies any day of the week.
Really?
Now, I work for Aldi.
Yes.
But I also shop at Coles and Woolies. And any other shop that has what I need at the best price.
Yep.
You know, I shop where I need to make my dollar stretch. But, a very high percentage of products on the shelf at Aldi are Australian products.
I didn't know that. That's their charter. Or their charter is to source as many Australian products as possible.
That's correct. If it was in South America, they would try and source as many South American products.
Well, I guess the other problem Dick Smith has is that he says their profits are going overseas, going to Germany.
Very true, but there's a lot of companies in Australia that aren't Australian companies.
Mm.
I mean, a lot of the big oil companies aren't Australian companies.
Correct.
And their profits go overseas.
Yep.
And they're gouging us more than probably anybody. It's the way the world is now, unfortunately. I do buy Dick products. I like Dick products.
That's going to make the promo.
You know, so... that's fine. That's whatever. It's all good. I've got big shoulders. I can carry that.
Jamie loves Dick products. Well, look, I feel sad. You know, he polarises people, Dick Smith. Well, polarise, is that the right word? I think most people think he's really genuine and like him. But there is a lot of people out there, and I read emails, I read Facebook, and I take phone calls. Been doing it for a while. There are a lot of people who say he's in it really just for the self-promotion. But it's hard to see how he is with the food because he claims that 100% of the profit goes to charity. Now, I remember, I think it was he went to Cowra and the asparagus farmers could not sell their asparagus. No one was buying it. If they were buying it, they were buying it for nothing. So Dick went down with a couple of trucks and he paid the proper price for a whole bunch of asparagus. he drove to Manly Beach in Sydney and gave it away. I remember that. But once again, was that promotion for Dick?
Mate, I think Dick is fairly genuine.
Love Dick.
Bit of self promotion doesn't help. It doesn't hurt along the way.
No, that's right.
But I think he is genuine and he does love Australia and he does try to do what's best for Australia. It's very challenging times for Australia at the moment, business wise, because our geographical isolation has limited the competition here for a long time, and the rest of the world's now woken up to Australia. And that's put a lot of pressure on Australian businesses because we're not used to the level of competition that someone like Aldi brings along.
Well, that's right. And Aldi has certainly brought along a lot of competition. Thank you very much for your call. As I said, my missus, Nikki, the Minister for War and Finance, she shops at Aldi. She loves it. And I don't go shopping with her because she's a pain in the ass to go shopping with. She just bips the horn and makes me unload the car. But I am going to go this weekend and I'm going to have a very close look at what is on the shelves and I'll try and see where the products are made. But you tell me, you still work at Aldi or you used to?
I still work at Aldi.
You still work at Aldi. And you say that their charter is to source as many products made in Australia as possible. Well, that's interesting. Jamie, thanks for your call.
Not a problem.
Okay.
Have a great day.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. G'day, Wendy.
Good morning, Luke. I saw Dick Smith get so upset last night.
He was genuinely upset, wasn't he?
Oh, it was terrible. But it reminded me of a beautiful, beautiful story that my uncle told me. He was my uncle was in a hotel at Crow's Nest in Sydney, and he was listening to his little radio. It pressed up against his ear, and this man come in and said, "Oh, what are you doing?" He said, "Oh, I'm just listening to the races." He said, "Wait a minute." And this man he didn't know went out, come back with a bigger radio, and he said, "I'm Dick Smith." And I thought that was so beautiful. And when I saw him crying, I thought, "But you've got a heart."
Mm.
He's got a heart.
But should we be feeling guilty about shopping at Aldi?
Probably not. I don't know. I don't shop at Aldi. I shop at Coles and Woolies. Because Dick Smith's things are still at Coles.
I went down last night when I got to work. We have a Coles downstairs and it's open very late.
Right.
And I bought every box of this cereal that I like. It's the Dick Smith Bush Foods.
That's right. Australian Bush Foods breakfast.
Yeah, and I tried it once because I thought, oh, it's Dick's and I'll give it a go. And I loved it. And so That's my favourite breakfast cereal now, and I went downstairs and I bought every box. And in fact, Natalie took a photo of me, and there's a picture of me here at work with all the Dick Smith breakfast boxes.
Yeah. Well, I'll always remember that story that Uncle told me, and it was a long, long... When Dick first opened up his electrical stores, and it was right at the start, so it must have been a long, long time ago, but I do remember him telling me that, and I thought, how special is Dick Smith?
Yeah, I remember when I marched with my grandfather's medals on Anzac Day up George Street in Sydney all those years ago. It was probably about 12 or 11 years ago. It was when they first allowed descendants of World War One veterans to march. And standing right there on the side of the road with a sign that said, "Thank you," was Dick Smith.
Oh, it's a beautiful, beautiful...
But is it self-promotion or is he genuine? I think he's genuine.
No, he's genuine. Yeah. He's genuine because my uncle said he didn't know him from a bar of soap. And when he come back in, he said, here's a bigger... The radio my uncle had was as big as a packet of cigarettes.
Mm.
And Dick Smith come in, put it on the bar and said, "There you go." And my uncle said, "Oh, thank you very much." And he introduced himself and it was Dick Smith.
There you are. Wendy, thanks for your call.